Hallelujah. God. Judges chapter 6 tonight. Judges chapter 6. Amen. I'm going to read a few scriptures here. Did you all notice one thing, brother? And I'm not doing that tonight. But did you notice one thing Brother Webster said when he was here? He said it was all right to go back into the archives. Did y'all understand what he said there? I think he was inspired when he said that. Because I just told Shay a few days earlier, and I hadn't told him that there's some few thoughts I'd like to go back and just break them out and preach them again. Preach them one time. Feel like that's the only time you can preach them because someone might think you not studying or something. Hallelujah. And man, I just, I mean, there's some thoughts that I've preached through the years that every now and then I just like to preach on Leheroy. Preach on Benaniah getting in the pit with a lion on a snowy day. Well, there's some things that I just love preaching, Brother Kurt. Hallelujah. But you got to be inspired now. You're just doing it because you're trying to be lazy and not get a message. Then you're in trouble. But when that inspiration, so if you hear something here coming up that I've preached before, don't think I'm getting lazy. I'm feeling inspiration. Hallelujah. And just because you feel inspiration don't mean you're going to knock a home run either. Because I felt inspiration many times and ended in perspiration. Hallelujah. Before it was over. And I mean, I didn't feel a thing, just pulling a long, heavy train. Hallelujah. All right. Book of Judges. Amen. Chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Sometimes the Lord delivers you into your circumstances because of your stubbornness, because of your own will. That's what He did the children of Israel here. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents. They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. Doesn't that sound like the devil? Without number, entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offered a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Now let me tell you something. Gideon could have did what the Lord said, but if he wouldn't have did it in the ordered place, he wouldn't have been obeying God. When God orders you to do something in a certain location, a certain situation, then you must do what the Lord has ordered you to do. Can you say amen? Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, Behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down that was by it. The second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. They said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men in the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Now in the law, amen, they were not to have altars in the grove. They were not to have altars in the shade. And I preached that one time. Might refer to it a little bit tonight. But you got to realize that they're getting angry with Gideon, and Gideon is doing that which is right. Doesn't that sound like the world we're in? Those that are trying to stand for right are the ones that are getting blasted. Oh, hallelujah. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Hallelujah. Would you stretch your hands this way? Ask the Lord to help us here for a few moments tonight. Father, we come to you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this people. Thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. I pray, O Lord, that you'd challenge our hearts again. Challenge me as their pastor and their minister. Help us, O Lord, to strive to enter in at that straight gate. I pray, Lord, tonight there are those that the devil is intimidating. The devil is plundering. They plant, they sow, and he comes again and again and robs that which you're doing in their life. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to see that there's more that are for us than against us, and that we can make it, and that we can take it through the power of the glorious gospel. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have a title, Kurt. Just wait until after church and me and you will figure one out. Hallelujah. But I want to preach, amen, out of this book, sixth chapter of the book of Judges, about this man Gideon. Amen. Gideon was not a perfect man. You can read the story of Gideon. Go home tonight and read about this man. We find that he was not a perfect man. And Gideon made some mistakes. But we must realize that at this time, amen, Israel was desperate for somebody to cut down the groves, for somebody to tear down the altars, because Israel was in a backslidden state, like they were many times in this book of Judges. For if you read the book of Judges, it contains the cycle. It's a cycle of sinning and suffering, and then salvation. Amen. Again and again you read where they displease the Lord and they suffer for it, and then God would raise up a judge and bring deliverance. But then a few chapters later, you would find them falling back in their sin. They'd sin and then they would suffer for it, and then God would wrought salvation for them. And I want to tell you, that's how a lot of people's experience are. Amen. And is in the church of the living God. Amen. It's an up and down experience, a back and forth experience. Amen. Amen. A cold and hot experience, an in and out experience. And people know about that. Amen. It seems that many live this
kind of spiritual life like they did in the book of Judges. And even at times in my Christian experience, it seemed there were times that I even got into this failing and suffering, and then God even bringing me out. How many know what I'm talking about? This experience. But I believe that this does not have to be the normality for a Christian. I believe there's a place in Christ that we can live above sin. I believe there's a place in Christ even that we don't have to worry about the Midianites coming in every harvest and stealing that which we've plowed and planted and watered, even and plucked with our own hands. Are you here? Even for 7 years, the Bible said, the Lord had delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. They'd go out and they'd plow their fields. They'd plant their seed. They would water. They would wait until the harvest time. It may be just before they harvested it or while they were harvested. These vagabonds, these Midianites and Amalekites, these people, amen, that were renegades of the desert, they'd come in and they would take what Israel had labored for. They would take what Israel had worked for. Are you hearing me? Israel was bold in her sins. She was even involved in idol worship. They were worshiping the gods of the foreign nations, the strange gods. And they were not ashamed of what they were doing. And God would have to raise up a judge who would bring deliverance to them. Isaiah, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse says like this, they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. I'm telling you, that's the kind of generation we live in. That is the kind of culture we are living in. That is the kind of society we're living in. Brazen sin, until we're living in a day that the divorce rate in the church, amen, is comparable to the divorce rate in the world. And I'm telling you, you can believe it or not, but I don't believe that that is the will of God in Christ Jesus. But I'm telling you, the Midianites are coming in and they're stealing those things, amen, that have made the church great. Are you hearing me? Oh, glory to God. Jeremiah said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, and neither could they blush. And we live in a society that is not blushing over their sinful lust, amen, but shows such as Desperate Housewives, amen, are popular in America. A show that feeds on lust and adultery, amen, and ungodliness. But yet the American culture watches that and they think nothing of it. And I'm not up on everything that is on, even that one-eyed Babylonian idiot box. But I'm telling you, friend, there's not a lot on it that is worth watching. Are you hearing me? Amen. But yet America, bold and brazen, even the soap operas for how many years, every day are full of drunkenness and adultery. Amen. And this one running around with this one's wife, until what they have watched through the years has become the moral fabric of our nation. Until we live in a society that it is nothing for infidelity to come into the home. Oh, I need to preach to you. People brag about their immorality. They brag about their adultery. They brag about their fornication. You can't even go into places of business anymore. Amen. Come on now, without seeing pornographic pics being displayed on the toolboxes, amen, or on the walls or in the office. Amen. People blaspheme the name of God. Are you hearing me? We live in a society much like, amen, Gideon lived in. And what is so sad to me, we have a society that needs God, but yet the church has got right into bed with the world. And I'm telling you, God's not coming back for a church that is in bed with the world, but He's coming back for a church that's holy. He's coming back for a church that's spotless. He's coming back for a church that is righteous. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not going to stay on that. But I'm telling you, verse 2 said, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made dens and made caves and made strongholds in the forest. In the mountains rather. And I want to tell you something. Even that's where we are. Gideon, the Bible said, God said, you're a mighty man of valor. But the times were so depressing. And the times were so oppressing. And the situations that he was facing. Seeing children plundered and taken off into captivity. Seeing those things like Brother Webster preached. Being aware. Amen. No doubt Gideon was aware of those things. And he'd take what little he could harvest. And in verse number 11, we find him, Brother Shane, he's threshing wheat. Amen. Hiding in a den, hiding in a cave, hoping the Midianites would not find where he would. And I'm telling you, that's how we are. Amen. So many of us are in a cave, so many of us are in dens. So many of us are in pits or strongholds in the mountains. But I want to tell you something. It seems that we'll plow and we'll plant and we'll water. And just when God seems to be pouring out a blessing, here comes the Midianite. Here comes the devil. Here comes the Amalekite. And that which we labored for, it seems that the devil takes it, amen, and runs off with it. Come on now. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to tell you every day, amen, these Israelites, every day and night, they lived in fear that their crops would be destroyed, that their children would be taken captive, that their homes would be burned, and maybe even their life lost. And I'm telling you, in Gideon's day, it was a helpless day. In Gideon's day, it seemed to be a defenseless day. Amen. And that helplessness and that defenselessness, amen, led to hopelessness. And I'm telling you, sometimes we come to church, amen, and we that have the hope of the world living in us, amen, by the shine in our eyes and the expression on our face, it seems that it's not one of hope. If I didn't have Jesus, I'd be of all men most miserable. He's the hope, amen, that gives me something to live for. Are you staying with me? And I want to tell you right now, hallelujah, but we'll come, and the expression on our face is one of helplessness. The expression on our face is one of defenselessness. The expression on our face is it's going to always be like that. Amen. That soon as I plant, soon as I water, soon as I get ready to step out into a new dimension, as soon as I get ready to step out in the blessings of God, here comes that marauding Midianite that steals from me. I will tell you, friend, I come to tell the devil, amen, his time is just about up. Amen. He stole from some of you, amen, a little too long, and you need to say, I'm going to get back what the devil stole from me. I'm going to get my testimony back. I'm going to get my joy back. I'm going to get my fire back. Hallelujah.
You see, that helpless, defenseless feeling. I had a friend in California. His name was Al Moore. He owned 13 karate studios. Amen. A 9th degree black belt, the last time I knew. A very bad hombre. And he got saved. Hallelujah. He told me that I forget the amount of money that he was hooked on cocaine a day. Hooked on cocaine. Living in a big home. Fine cars. But Al got hooked on cocaine. And I won't tell you, when people live in those fine, comfortable homes, and they get hooked on cocaine, and there's probably other drugs that work this way, even it brings a paranoia. Are you hearing me? He been an owl. He been someone that had life together, owned 13 karate studios. He been could walk down the street and literally nobody with their bare hands probably. He been could have whipped him. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? But yet this drug, he been to become to maraud. They were marauders, amen, invaders. And they invaded his life. And this drug, amen, began to take his money. And it began to take his peace. And it began to take, amen, his finances. And he said, all of a sudden I become paranoid. Behind every telephone pole, behind every, somebody was out to get me. Amen. Now that you wouldn't want to walk up on a guy that's a ninth degree black belt, amen, who's paranoid. Hallelujah. That people are out to get him. Are you understanding what I'm telling you? Amen. Come on now. But he found Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And he got saved. And that void that was missing in his life, amen, Jesus satisfied it. Are you hearing what I'm trying to tell you? I want to tell you there are people today that spiritually you're paranoid. Amen. The devil's got you spooked. Every time you turn around, you think the devil's behind that. And the devil, he might be behind some of it. But I want to tell you, hallelujah. He'll tell you, the devil will say, come on, you're missing out on pleasure. But you know that the devil's pleasure gives you nothing but pain. Hallelujah. But I come to tell you, hallelujah, God, amen, wants you to realize that the devil doesn't have to keep stealing from you. Hallelujah. There's a place in God that he can give you the victory, that he can silence the Midianite. He can destroy the Amalekite. He can do great and marvelous and wonderful things in your life. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. We got plenty of people in dens and caves. Hallelujah. Brother, when I started this church, I preached about the cave. I talked about people coming in debt and distressed, and I've mentioned that a few times here lately. Amen. And at that time, this church was operating as a cave. Huh? People were coming in hurt, and they needed oil and wine. Are you hear what I'm telling you? But I don't believe it's God's will for the rest of our days to be a cave, to be a den, to be in hiding. In the world out there not knowing, hallelujah, what's going on in here. Oh, come on, somebody. I preached the other night to you about Joseph in the time of famine. And I didn't even read that. Brother Scott put that, and I didn't remember that when he read it the other night. But I was reading that he is our Moses in the desert and a Joseph in the famine. I don't know if I'm a Joseph in the famine or not, but I want to tell you something. Our church ought to be a Joseph in the famine. It's time to come out of the dens. It's time to come out of the caves. It's time to, amen, quit coming to church saying, bless me, bless me, bless me. Now, you new converts that are just getting started, open up your hands, your mouth, say, fill me, Lord. Every time you come, say, Lord, give me some more. Hallelujah. But we that have been saved a little while, we need to get up out of our den. We need to get up out of our cave. We need to get up out of our pit and say, I got to find somebody and tell them about Jesus. Tell them they don't have to live this way. Where they plant and they water and they sow, and the devil comes and steals it. Tell them about a Savior, amen, who can defeat every Amalekite, every Midianite, every Philistine. Oh, somebody shout amen. I'm telling you, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been telling these new converts, it's not enough to be in church. If you think just coming in this church, listening to me preach, and hear people sing, what it's all about, you're in for a rude awakening. It's being in Christ. And it's being Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, hallelujah. Flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, getting lost in Him. But listen to me. There are so many people here tonight. Some of you that have been coming to church here for a while. You're in a den and you're in a cave. And I'm not here to browbeat you. But there's so many folks that become slaves to their enemies. People that have enemies and they get so caught up in their enemies.
and what their enemies are trying to do to them, that they become just like them. Oh, come on now. They become slaves to that which they despise. Oh, hallelujah. There have been times I have caught myself, Brother Gary, even because people had it out for me, even thinking about it and thinking about it and mulling over it, and even reiterating it over and over and hashing it out. Even then I come to the realization, I'm about to be just like them. Huh? Woo! Glory be to Jesus. Even folks that become victims of their circumstances. Their circumstances are so bad and their situations are so dire. Even that they get this victim syndrome. Even that I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. Even, but come on now, you don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to be a victor? Does anybody want the faith that overcome the world, which is our faith, which is our victory? Does anybody have victory tonight? Does anybody have Jesus living in them?
Oh, glory to God.
Woo! People become products of their problems and fugitives of their fears. Huh? Some of you, fear has got you on the run. The devil always trying to get you to fear everything. Fear God's love. Fear God's mercy. Fear your pastor. Fear your spouse. Fear your friends. Fear. We live in a day that is so fearful. You ladies realize that madmen got nuclear bombs? You realize they could wipe us out right now? You young ladies realize that? Don't realize that? Church, do you realize that? We are living in an age that madmen have nuclear bombs. And whether our politicians can get it or not, it don't matter if we're nice to them. They hate us anyway. We're infidels. They want us destroyed. There wouldn't be nothing more delighted than the great Satan, America, and the little Satan, which is Israel, to be wiped off the face of the earth. Amen. You know, we could think of those things and all the time think around saying, fear, 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 fear. You know, I could walk around in fear all the time that plant's going to blow up. It'd just be, oh Lord Jesus, that plant, if it blew up, you know what it'd do? It'd make a crater and this thing would be flooded with the Washita River. I've thought of that stuff before. Anybody lived in this town very long probably had that thought come through. But I don't live in fear. I'm not going to be a fugitive. God did not give me the spirit of fear, but He gave me the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. Amen. And sometimes you got to tell the devil when he tries to make you afraid, say, in the times that I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. If it's God's time for me to go, let Angus blow up. Let him drop a nuclear bomb on us. But until then, I'm going to keep on singing. I ain't going to let the Midianites take what God gave me. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe God.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah.
You see, our problem is we become casualties in our crisis. Oh, yes, we do. We've got folks in dens and caves, and they're sobbing instead of singing. And Christianity ain't a sob, my friend. It is a song. Are you hearing me? I said, it is a song of the redeemed. He picked me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my goings, and it put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. And ever since Jesus came, I've been singing His praise. Glory to God. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.
But I know there's some of you, them marauders, wait on you when you leave the door every Sunday night. You just throw your hands up and say, here you go. Huh?
You just let them take that which you work so hard for. Without a struggle, without a conflict, you just say, oh, that's the way it is. And you go back into your hole of being afraid. Huh? You go back into the den of timidness. You say, oh, this world is so bad. I'm just going to hide out here until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. We'll just let Him maraud and invade and take whatever He wants to. We'll let Him take the blood out of our songbooks. We'll let Him take the deity out of Christ. Oh, come on now. We'll let Him take the shout out of our services and the praise God out of our services. We'll just let Him gag people and, amen, take them off captive where nobody says amen nor nobody shouts the victory. We'll just let Him come in. Oh, yeah, we planted. Yes, we did. We plowed the field. We planted the seed. Amen. He come harvest, but we're just going to let the devil have it. Come on now. I think sometimes we need to shake that mentality. We don't have to give the devil what we've worked for. We don't have to give the devil what we're doing. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Woo! Amen. Listen to me. I'm trying to hurry. I got to hurry. So it was. Verse 3. Whenever Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up. So it was, Dave. Every time I started praying more, the Midianites showed up. Jonathan Day, trying to fast to get the Holy Ghost, had an appendix attack. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't want anybody to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. He doesn't want anybody to get delivered from cigarettes. He doesn't want anybody to quit sinning. Amen. He's after you. He's after me. Oh, somebody shout amen. So it was whenever Israel had sown that the Midianites came up. How many times have I preached the gospel and seen people saved right here in this church? They felt the power of God. They told me, like some of you have, amen, we feel the love of God. Hallelujah. And as soon as I planted and watered and had an harvest, here come the Midianites. Amen. Somebody that wasn't praying for them, didn't have a burden for them, wasn't interested in them until after they got saved. And here they come. Amen. Come on with me. Amen. You can live a little looser. You can have it a little lighter. Come on now. And I won't tell you that's what's going to happen to some of you ladies. Hallelujah. They're going to come to you and say, you don't have to listen to that preacher, boy. Amen. Come on down. Amen. To where we go to church, you can do whatever you want to do, and you won't feel guilty about it. I'm telling you, a church where you don't feel guilty is not really a church. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Every one of us, every now and then, ought to feel guilt about something. Oh, glory to God. I've had it done. I'm not going to say 100 times. I don't know how many times. As soon as I sow, get the harvest, they pray through, some Midianite comes and steals them away. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you what. If you felt God here, it was for a reason. Amen. And I don't want to see you stole away. Oh my God, have mercy. I don't want to bog down right here. But let me tell you something. Amen, new converts, and you can take this or leave this. Amen, but I don't think you'll find a preacher anywhere, amen, that'll bind you closer to His heart than I will. Amen, and pray for you. And sometimes I might preach the truth and it might not settle well. Amen, but listen to me. This Bible is like medicine sometimes. How many like to taste medicine? I hate medicine. My wife almost has to tie me down, open my mouth and pour it down me because I hate it. I say, if it ain't in a tablet, I don't want it. Hallelujah. Well, Dollar General's closed and you've got a cough.
Tracy, and you got to preach some, amen, and she has to, it's an act of Congress, hallelujah, to talk me into taking that medicine because it tastes so bad. But amen, after a while I feel so much better. And I will tell you, sometimes I might preach something and it may taste bad, but if you swallow it, amen, and think about it after a while, it'll make you feel so much better. Hallelujah. It'll take away the fever of sin. Oh, glory to God. It'll take away the infections of the world. If you let the gospel, amen, be poured into your soul. Woo!
Oh, hallelujah. I hope I'm not preaching too fast. So it was when Israel had sown. My God, that come real to me today. Israel's enemy, Sister Sarah, was never far away. They were always watching. They were always waiting. They were always ready and prepared to come and terrorize them. They had done it for 7 years. Watch them plow, plant, water, and at the time of the harvest, they come and took everything from them. Doesn't that sound like the devil? Always lurking in the bushes, always standing around the corner like the Midianites. He's ruthless. Amen. He's relentless. It doesn't matter who or how he hurts. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't care how it hurts you. He doesn't care whom it hurts. He comes as an accuser. Hallelujah, right when you begin to plant, it's so in prayer, it's so in fasting, it's so in Bible reading, it's so in church attendance, he'll come as an accuser, even trying to condemn you of what you did at your senior prom, trying to condemn you what you did after you graduated from high school, trying to condemn you of despicable deeds that you don't want to think about. That's the devil. He's trying to steal, amen, what God, hallelujah, wants you to take home. Hallelujah, to the garner. Hallelujah, into the barn. Come on, somebody. Amen. He comes as a thief. He wants to steal from you. He comes as a tyrant. He wants to control you. He comes as the tempter. He wants to entice you. He comes, hallelujah, as a guide. He wants to, amen, mislead you. And he comes sometimes as a friend. But he wants to deceive you. But I'm telling you, devil, amen, you can't have my harvest. You can't have my blessing. You can't have, hallelujah, my touch. Oh, glory to God. Oh. Woo. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord. Woo. They encamped, verse 4 said, against them. And destroyed, Brother Shane, the increase of their earth. Till thou come to Gaza, they left no sustenance for neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. And I will tell you, just as the Midianites left nothing untouched, neither does the devil. Sue, Sister Sue, he wants your faith. Sister Lori, he wants your faith. Sister Dana, he wants your faith. Hallelujah. Sister Rhonda, he wants your faith. Are you hearing me? Sister Cindy, he wants your faith. Brother Jimmy Jones, he wants your faith. Brother T.D. Boyd, he wants your faith. He wants our faith. He doesn't want us to go to heaven. He wants to steal everything God gives. How many know what I'm talking about? You get blessed, and before you get home, the Midianite has come in. Amen. Destroyed the increase of your blessing and your touch and your promise. It seemed like left you with nothing. But just as those Midianites, even just as those Amalekites, that's the way the devil comes. He comes to pollute your mind.
He comes to distort your vision. He comes to disturb your peace. He comes to weaken your faith. He comes to torment your conscience. He comes to remove your joy. He comes to tarnish your testimony. And it comes to shatter your nerves. Hallelujah. They didn't come just to the land. He meant to come and go. But they come and they meant to stay. They had the full intentions of staying a while. Amen. Making up camp. Are you hearing me? But I want to declare to you tonight that the devil's time is just about up. He's tired of the devil stealing. He's tired of the devil destroying. And he's going to raise up a Gideon. Hallelujah. That's going to tear down the altar and cut down the grove and build an altar unto Jehovah God. I want to tell you, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of conflict, in the midst of turmoil, God wants to give Sterlington Holiness Tabernacle a revival, a sin killing, devil chasing, Holy Ghost filling revival.
Oh, glory to God. Woo! I'm getting ready. I believe Satan's time is up for some of you. You've planted. You've watered. It's just about the time you get your harvest. He comes and steals it all. And it's another year of plowing, planting, watering. And just about the time, here comes the adversary again. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Some of you, amen, church is just a social thing. Not everybody, but I believe even in our church, there's some, this is a social thing. It's where you can come, you can be around friends, make your conscience feel good, you come to church. Huh? You say, Brother Tracy, that ain't true. Well, that ain't true. How come you ain't meet this to nobody? If that's not true, how come you haven't fasted in the last 3 months? If that's not true, how come you haven't prayed for your pastor like you need to? Because sometimes we're not even aware that we've come into this. Get in the cave, hide in the den, get in the stronghold where we're safe. And stay in the bunker. Because God forbid, if we try to pray or fast, we might take a hit from the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to preach here. I am trying to preach here. But I remember another Old Testament story of a time when Israel was in hiding. Verse number 11 of the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel said, "And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of holes where they had hid themselves." They were in hiding, and finally Jonathan, who I think was made of noble steel, and I believe if Saul would have let him, Jonathan would have went out there and fought Goliath and wouldn't have thought nothing about it. Are you hearing me? That's just how I believe it. But Jonathan got tired of hiding. And he said to his armor bearer, he said, "The Lord can save by many or by few. Come on, let's go." And the armor bearer said, "Whatsoever your heart, whichsoever way you turn, my heart is with thee." Woo! Amen. They come out of the hiding, and when them Philistines seen them, they said, "Look at there, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves." And Jonathan said, "If they say, amen, come up to us, we're going to go up to them, we're going to believe that that's God. Amen. And we're going to give them a good whipping." Hallelujah. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of being backed in the corner. I'm tired, amen, of letting the devil take my milk money. I'm tired of planting, amen, and watering and
just about the time of the harvest? Here they go. You know what I'm talking about. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. Hallelujah. They looked at them two little feeble, amen, Israelites and said, come on up here, boys, and we'll show you a thing. We'll teach you a lesson to ever come out of hiding. We'll teach you a lesson, amen, to ever show your face in that Philistine territory. And Jonathan looked at him and said, let's go. I believe that's our answer. And when they got to the top, amen, they gave them a whipping. I'm telling you, the world might look at our little church, amen, and we're staying with the old path. Amen, old time preaching, old time praying, old time fasting, amen, believing God is going to do it. And the world says, we're going to show you a thing. But I tell you, we keep doing what God said to do, and we build an altar in the ordered place. We're about to see a revival that the devil can't stop, that no Midianite can stop, that no Amalekite can stop. Oh, somebody. Woo! I feel the Lord. Hallelujah. Come up and we will show you a thing. Ah, that's what the devil would like to say to us. But I'm getting ready close. We don't have to let the devil chase us every day. We don't have to let the devil drag us through the mud every day. We don't have to let the devil convince us every day that we're defeated. Gideon had 10. Jonathan had 1. And I wonder, does Pastor T.D. Boyd have anybody ready to come out of hiding? Woo! Oh, glory to God. That was a big response there. Huh? You like hiding, don't you? Hallelujah. You like just coming to church, let Brother Tracy sweat. And hallelujah. And oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, it's time to come out of the hiding. Amen. God is a moving in our midst, a sovereign work. Are you hearing? People are being saved. People are being born again. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I could use some of you saints just coming to Bible study to help some of these new converts pray over some of the things they're battling. I wish some of you'd come out of hiding, glory to God. Hallelujah. But whether you do or whether you don't, it doesn't matter if I have a church full of 90 or if I only have 1 or even 10. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to put the Midianite to flight, because that's what we're believing for, and that's what we're praying for, and that's what we're trusting God for. Woo! Come on, Caitlin, if you will. Get ready to play here in a minute. Gideon was quick to obey. Those 10 men were quick to obey. Jonathan and his armor bearer were quick to obey. And I read this, and I've quoted this to you before, but obedience that really obeys is the obedience that really counts. And that which really counts is that which really costs. We can feign like we're obedient. Huh? The people that just feign like they're obedient, they're the ones that really don't have any trouble. But it's those when God says, I ordered that, I want you to tear this down, and I want you to build this up. And immediately they obey. It brings conflict. Huh? Don't be afraid of the Midianites. As soon as Israel's sown, here they come. And I'm going to tell you, anytime you try to do something for God, here they come. I come off that fast earlier in the year. I've learned. You don't just fast and then you just have instant revival. God don't work that way. But when I fast and when I come off, you know what happened? Here come the Midianites. And try to intimidate you to stay in hiding. Get in the cave. Get in the den. Quit preaching about healing, preacher. Quit preaching about deliverance, preacher. Quit saying there's something like sin and hell
just shut up. Get back. We don't want you. We're going to take your message. We're going to take your anointing. We're going to take your church. We're... Woo! I won't tell you, friend. Hallelujah. If the devil gets my church, he's going to get it over my dead body. Hallelujah. I'm like Shammah tonight. Woo! Hallelujah. It's my bean patch. Amen. Everybody else might say it ain't much, but it's my bean patch. Hallelujah. You're my church. I know you're God's church, but He put me here. And I'm telling you, I think it's time for us as a church to get up out of the hiding and let Sterlington know there's a church that's still alive. There's a church that's still concerned for the destitute, the downtrodden, the defeated. Oh, glory be to God. Somebody shout amen. Woo. Oh, yeah. You let Gideon tear down those shade trees, and the devil will show up in the morning with blood in his eyes. And according to verse 11, Gideon had threshed wheat, and he's already had harvested his, some of his. Brother Kurt, no doubt he had labored long and hard, and he was wearied. Those Midianites aware, they were like wolves. And I'm telling you, that's how the devil is tonight. Some of you are tired. You're getting what Brother Tracy's saying in your head. But you're so bone tired. You are so weary from planting, plowing, and watering, and sowing, that it would just be easy to say, let the Midianites have their way with my life. It ain't worth it. Oh, you're so tired. And the devil knows that. He knows when we're most vulnerable. And that's when he strikes. When you're tired. That's when he hopes to conquer you. That's when he hopes to steal from you. That's when he hopes to destroy you. To take advantage of our weariness. To invade us and plunder us. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what the devil wants to do. Amen. I've told this. I'm going to tell it again tonight. Would you stand with me? Dante, I believe he was a philosopher. They asked him about the animal that was the most dangerous to man. He refused to say it was the lion, the king of the jungle, the strongest. Knock a 200 plus pound zebra down with his paw. He wouldn't say it was the cheetah with his speed. But Dante said the most dangerous animal to man is the wolf. Because it's a stalker. It's a marauder. It would keep those animals running. Huh? I've told you that before. Running. Not letting them take time to get a drink. Not giving them time to eat something. Just running them and running them and running them and running them until they're so dead tired. They just fall. Collapse. And the wolf devours them. That's how the Midianites were. They were like wolves. They were warlike. They were desert nomads. They'd wait until they were tired. And then they'd come and take everything from them. Someone here tonight, you are bone tired. You are so tired you feel it in your bones. You say, well, preacher, are you prophesying? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. You are so bone tired that you've even thought in recent days, what's the use of plowing, planting, watering? Because every time, just about ready to reap, something comes into my life and steals it all from me. so tired of getting up after what I've worked for, and I look up and I see the dust of their camels taken off with my blessing, taken off with my joy, running off with my promise. Well, I know I'm just pastor, but I feel the Holy Ghost coming into this room right now. Oh, hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to just take my time. I'm going to talk to somebody. You're tired. You're bone tired. But when I got through studying and praying today, the Lord said, I want you to tell somebody tonight. And He don't always do this to me. And I don't even know who I'm talking to. But He said, I want you to tell them, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. You're tired. But God's coming to you. He's getting ready to meet with you like He met with Gideon. He might say, I want you to tear down that grove. I want you to tear down that altar. And I want you to build some things back. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Sister Caitlin beginning to play a little louder and sing. I'm wondering, is there one here that wants to come to this altar? You're tired. You're tired. Oh, the devil knows you're weak. Hallelujah. I wonder, is there one? You probably won't come on your own. But maybe you will. If you'll wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength. Oh, here comes one. Hallelujah. Some of you that, amen. Hallelujah. You could pray with her. Here comes another. Oh, don't let the devil steal from what God's gave you. Cindy. Dana. Don't let him steal it from you. Brandy. Come on, these converts are coming around here. Amen. I want you to gather around. Some of you church folks, come on, come out of hiding. Get out of your den. Come and pray with them. You don't have to pray fire down. Just let them know. Just let them feel that pat on the back that somebody cares. Hallelujah. Somebody that's been coming to the tabernacle for a good while. Woo! He wants to renew your strength tonight. Would you come? Everybody, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's tired of the Midianites invading and being marauders. Woo! Build an altar. Don't build it under the shade tree. Cut the shade down. Cut the custom religion down. Woo! Glory. Don't become a victim of your circumstance. Become a victor. Woo! Don't become a casualty in the midst of your crisis. Be a conqueror. Hallelujah. Come on tonight. I feel the Lord here. I feel the Lord here tonight. Come on, church folks. Get around these that come tonight.